Blog Talk Radio.
Also known as Valentine's Day. Welcome back to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. We're grateful to be back with you live on air again. We've been off for a few days, largely due to our travel schedule. Fortunately, we were able to fulfill one of the purposes of this talk show, Talk Straight, which is to open dialogue with various communities nationally about some things that are addressing that people in neighborhoods and families are addressing on a regular basis. To that end, a 10-city tour. And again, we're grateful to be back with you live, and we hope that you join us tonight on air. 657-383-0944 is the number to call. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. This is your host, Reuben Dockery, and we're grateful to engage you in our topic tonight. BFC Institute, visit of tour city, Columbus, Mississippi. As you may know, BFC Institute acts as the research arm of Building Families and Communities Missions Incorporated, which seeks to document proactive strategies for improving the quality of life for families and communities nationally. Recently, yours truly, the host here, acting as an educational consultant, visited Columbus, Mississippi. While there, we celebrated the press conference and public debut of a nonprofit organization, 501c3, in Columbus, the Columbus City, entitled Peace Be Still. There, we again celebrated the result of our work with the founder, who happens to be the Assistant Chief of Police of the City of Columbus, Chief Frederick Shelton, and he's also the founder of Peace Be Still. After working for a number of years in the Columbus area, Chief Shelton, 32 years or so, Chief Shelton sought to extend on his experience with the people there and to bring his experience in law enforcement to a level where he can actually be of social support. And he's also a pastor in the area, a minister, ordained, and has a PhD in Christian counseling, and his endeavors to put that to use to serve God's purpose as well as a need in humanity. We worked with him over the last few years as he began to lay out plans and structure for Peace Be Still, his new nonprofit organization. And he received this 501c3 letter of determination and the first grant to kick him off, basically, kick his efforts off. And we had an opportunity to meet his president, Mr. Willie Jones, there in the Columbus area. The mayor was present, Mayor Robert Smith, grateful to meet and engage him, as well as a representative from the United Way of Columbus, Mississippi, who also delivered the check, as well as one of 10 pastors in the Columbus area. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute, who was Reverend James. And I'm going to talk about the significance of the pastor that was there that represent one of 10 in just a minute as we go further with this show. But to formally kick off our monologue for the show for the next 10 minutes, bear with us. And again, feel free to call us here at 657-383-0944. If you're listening later and archive the show, be sure to give me a call at 615-498-4669. I'm happy to entertain any questions that you might have about our show, either one of our episodes, or even about our program. Our website is www.bfcinstitute.com. Feel free to go there and peruse the site and learn more about what we do overall. Okay, so again, we're going to begin tonight's episode with a monologue. You've heard the song from the late, great James Cleveland, where he talked about in the song the need for peace to be still. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 reads, "And God blessed them," talking about man, male and female, "and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that comes upon the earth." Mark chapter 4, verse 38 reads, "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the winds and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the winds, and there was great calm." As we look at the city of Columbus demographically, our research has revealed to us, and we looked at one particular community or neighborhood, and that's the 14th Avenue North Waterworks Road neighborhood, or zip code 37701. Based on neighborhood scouts and other research, we find that in that particular district, or District 4, the population is about 11,000 people. And according to Neighborhood Scouts, the 14th Avenue North community stands out for having an average per capita income that is lower than 97.6% of the neighborhoods across the U.S. Also of note, 72% of the children in this area live in poverty. An extraordinary high percentage of compared to other neighborhoods and across the nation. Looking further, analysis revealed that this particular neighborhood has more single mother households than 96.7% of the neighborhoods compared across the U.S. Often, high concentration of single mother homes can be indicative of family and social ills, or challenges such as poverty and high rates of school dropout. In fact, some research suggests that when there's a father absent in the home, there's a greater chance for problem in school for children and dropout, as well as crime and other social problems. This community reportedly is primarily African American. Unfortunately, since the beginning of 2017, they've seen an alarming number of homicides or shootings, as with all the cities that we're discussing. When you look at this, it begs the question, is there a need for peace to be still, specifically in Columbus? We've been fortunate to visit the city and to learn a great deal about the great people there. Though they have challenge, though they have issues, oftentimes we ask the question, is there anything we can do about it? Well, I'll say to you, Genesis 1:28 strongly suggests that we have dominion over what goes on in the earth and that we have control over certain things. And I would further suggest that even as the character in Mark, the 4th chapter, verses 38 through 39, that being Christ himself, spoke with authority into the circumstances of a ship being tossed by an angry sea and demanding that those circumstances hold fast and bring peace. There were people that were afraid and concerned and worried about the circumstances, just as we see demographically in this great city of Columbus. But yet, it's possible for someone to say, peace, be still. I am happy to report that our friend and fellow there in Columbus, Assistant Chief Fred Shelton, again, a 32-year resident, police officer, minister, and family man, has decided, amidst all the frustration, amidst all the challenges in the city, to speak those words and to bring those words to life, peace be still. And he's been fortunate to represent that via his nonprofit organization there in the Columbus, Mississippi area. Now, the good thing about that is our crime intervention model, and you can find that at www.bfcinstitute.com. This crime model not only lends itself to circumstances, social circumstances, as we read earlier about Columbus, but other cities as well. Chicago, Illinois is one of the cities we've done demographic research on and looked into some things and asked ourselves, how can we bring our research-based model to be a help and to actually speak peace into those circumstances? In the St. Louis, Missouri area, Indianapolis, Indiana, Detroit, Michigan, Memphis, Tennessee, and we began our quest and our path, our journey right here in Nashville, Davidson County. And there are some things we've done here with various groups or communities, and we are simply expanding that model. Birmingham, Alabama is another one, or the Bessemer, Alabama area, which is a joining county or suburb of Birmingham, the larger city. Columbus, Mississippi, which we're talking about tonight. And we're going to be making efforts to go to these other cities from now until the end of the year. In the Gulf Coast region, Texas, Houston, Texas, is one of the cities that we see a correlation to Columbus, as well as New Orleans, Louisiana. We know that they've just been hit by a pretty bad, hurricane and some flooding and some more damage to a troubled neighborhood and community. And lastly, Miami, Florida, is a targeted city. The Pork and Beans neighborhood of Miami-Dade County. We're looking to go down the Liberty City area, very much very similar to all these other cities. And most recently, we've been invited to come to Charlotte, North Carolina. In fact, one of our prior guests was from the Charlotte area, and she provided what we consider to be an excellent show to help us to understand some of the dynamics there and some things that we can do. So let me talk a little bit about the model of the what we call the Crime Intervention Advocacy Coalition Prototype. And this is what we aim to offer our research-based model on. So when we say research-based, when I say that, I'm making reference to the fact that we consider some successful practices across the nation that are used by different organizations or programs, and we asked ourselves, under what circumstances or conditions will the same methodologies yield similar or identical results? And so we've put together this framework by which, when we come to each city, we'll bring these components of this local coalition prototype, and we'll be able to speak to the realities of each of the cities we've outlined previously. BFC Institute, at the core, will work to identify first a organizational partner. Peace Be Still in the Columbus area is one of the organizational partners. I mentioned Pastor James, who pastors a church there in Columbus, and working with Chief Shelton, we've been able to identify a total of 10 churches that he's worked, but they will become part of his organizational structure and represent organizational partnerships and the coalition itself. In addition to that, we're looking to collaborate with other groups, other nonprofits, other government and social agencies and things of that nature, as well as training local volunteers to be engaged, and most importantly, backing that up with the support of the business community in Columbus, as with the other cities. I should stop and note for a second that while there in Columbus, we learned of another great nonprofit there that is fairly new, and we are currently working with that organization to see how we might help them to grow. And that is Sarah's Tutorbug, which is a reading after-school reading program as well as a homeschool program. Great concept, great ideas there. In fact, next week we're going to have the founder, Ms. Shania Richardson, on as our guest, and we'll talk in more detail about that particular organization. And I'm grateful to know that there are good people who are working hard every day. And so often we look at the news, and hear the radio and the internet and other stories and articles that really offer a rather bleak picture. And too often we don't get the information about the great things that are going on and the things that are making a difference. So I'm happy to share with you, listening audience, some of the things that we learned on this most recent visit to Columbus. And we're grateful for Chief Shelton having us to come there. We were able to witness, again, his debut, where it was at a public venue. In fact, it was an ice cream shop, kind of like one of these little coffee shops, you see typically, same structure as, not to give any free advertisement, but the coffee joints. I won't call a particular name, but it was a very nice layout, and it was open to the public. Mayor Robert Smith was in attendance, and we had an opportunity to meet him and to engage him a little bit. As I mentioned, a representative from the United Way, who actually presented the check to Chief Shelton and the board president, Mr. Willie Jones. So it was great to see that, and it was great to see the work that we've done with them come to fruition. In addition to working with us, there were some local individuals who assisted with the filing of his documents and articles of incorporation, as well as advising them on local issues, their demographics, and things of that nature. So all these things came together, and that's what we aim to do as we come to each of these cities, is to lend ourselves as a reference, a resource, and an agent to change. And that's the basis of Building Families and Communities Institute, which, as I mentioned earlier, is the research arm of the nonprofit itself. And we're based in Nashville, Tennessee. Again, that's Nashville, Tennessee. You can learn a lot more about us by going to our website, www.bfcinstitute.com, and you can get a good deal of information about us here. And before we go to a brief commercial break here, I just want to mention again that the founder here is Assistant Chief Fred Shelton, with a great vision. Some of the things that they're looking to do is to take, again, some of the initiatives and things that he's worked hard with the police department to do, and to empower parents, and not only the parents, but work with their children as well. And they've identified 6 housing areas that through this grant, they will begin their efforts formally to engage residents there. And to talk about ways that they can improve the quality of life for individuals that live in those housing areas, and how they can be empowered and emboldened to do things that will change or reduce or eliminate criminal activity, encourage people to go back and take advantage of educational opportunities. Very similar to Nashville, Columbus has a 2-year free college program. There are conditions, but if you've dropped out of high school or you're in high school and you find it difficult to pay for college, you go through a 2-year program, and once you successfully complete it, then you're eligible to transfer to one of the 4-year institutions in the local area and get a 4-year degree. Excellent start, excellent start. And so those are some of the things that PCP still are looking to do to connect people to those opportunities. A lot of good people, parents, we mentioned single parents there. That doesn't make them bad people. That means that in the midst of their storm, of their sea, there is a need for someone to stand up and to say, peace, be still. I just mentioned to you about the CIA or Crime Intervention Advocacy model that BFC Institute offers, and there's great opportunity for replication of what we did in Columbus in those other cities that I referenced just earlier. And again, for review, let me just highlight those cities, which are Chicago, the Chicago area, St. Louis, Missouri, Indianapolis, Indiana, Detroit, Michigan, Memphis, Tennessee, Birmingham, Alabama, or Bessemer as well, Houston, Texas, New Orleans, Louisiana, Miami, Florida, and most recently, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Mecklenburg. Grateful again to have the opportunity to work from that format and to share with you, our listening audience. And my hope is that as you archive this show later, and those of you that are listening via Facebook, we encourage you to participate in the dialogue, in the conversation. And again, the number to call is 657-383-0944. On the other side of this break, what I will do is we'll come back and we'll talk more specifically about some of the things that are going on in each of the cities. And we're going to listen to a little music tonight, and I pray that it offers us some motivation, some encouragement, and we want you, our listening audience, to participate. Again, give us a call here, 657. Don't hesitate to question, comments, or suggestions. We are happy to entertain them. 657 is the number to call us here at the studio, 383-0944. After these messages, we will be right back.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
Reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're grateful to have you again on this February 14th, 2017, also known as Valentine's Day. I don't know if you know the history behind Valentine, but a Catholic bishop came through a poverty-ridden town in Europe on his horse on this date in around the early 1500s or so, my memory served me correctly. And as he came through, he gave people who were hungry and destitute, he handed out sweets and goods to them to help alleviate their pain. And the story is told that they fell in love with us. Every time he came to do his visit to the city, he would bring them gifts or niceties. And Valentine's Day, Bishop Valentine, was the one that they fell in love with because of his care. And ever since then, folks have been celebrating it. And in America, that's an American staple, Valentine's Day. On this day where you're supposed to show somebody that you love how much you care. Sad thing is, we'll wait to this one particular time of the calendar year to say I love you. You're a little late, you know, and even after then you need to say I love you. But nonetheless, this is Talk Straight. The number is 657-383-0944. If you want to reach me, your host, Reuben Dockery, and BFC Institute, you can give me a call at 615-498-4669. That's 615-498-4669. Go to our webpage and join us in our Facebook group. You can access it from the webpage. And that webpage, again, is www.bfcinstitute.com. When we left before the break, we were talking about our work in the Columbus area. And that's the focus of our show tonight, is what we did in Columbus, Mississippi. And we simply brought a model that we spent some time, several years, researching and putting together a protocol or structure that we believe will be beneficial to not only the Columbus, Mississippi area, which happens to be Lowndes County in Mississippi, but other cities that we earlier identified. And I want to spend a little time going in a little bit more detail about that crime intervention advocacy model. And then I want to talk to you about a lecture that we've put together. So the idea is when we come to each of these cities, we will give historical background on how one particular subgroup, and that's being African-American males, find themselves victims of either criminal activity or the committing of criminal acts, incarceration, and sadly, untimely death. Those are things that are troubling, and they cause a great storm in the lives of many. But I'll say to you again, if I can reference the text again, in Mark, the fourth chapter, 38th verse and 39th verse, where Jesus was in a ship sleeping, taking a rest, and some of his disciples were in that ship with him. As they were riding, waves and winds in an angry sea began to cause turmoil and turbulence and shake the ship violently, and it caused a stir and a fear in the hearts of those in the ship. While everybody else was in uproar, Jesus found peace until they woke him up. And then he said to them, listen. First of all, he stopped to rebuke the wind, to speak to the circumstances that had everybody fretful. He said unto the sea that was causing all the ruckus, look here, peace be still. Those words, they became alive. And the text suggests that the winds stopped what they were doing. They wasn't hitting the sides of the boat anymore, rocking it back and forth. And the sea, all of a sudden, I wasn't there, but I can see in my imagination how it was pitch black at night on a sea that was turbulent. But at the words of the Savior, he said, peace, be still. And the text says that there was calm about the sea. Now, somebody would say, well, you ain't Jesus. If the meaning of what it means to be a Christian is to be Christ-like, have the resemblance, the characteristics of, that somehow I might have some of that same authority. Certainly Genesis, the first chapter, 28th verse, suggests that we were given dominion and power over certain things in the earth. And I want to believe that we can speak to our circumstances in all of the cities that we're talking about, all across America, wherever there's turbulence, there's trouble, and say, peace be still. And I'm grateful for our work with this nonprofit organization founded by Chief Frederick Shelton in Columbus, Mississippi, Lyons County. They work to bring peace and calm to that particular area. It's a good thing. It's a very good thing. And as I mentioned earlier, we will be working even further with another organization that we engaged and met recently while we were there in the city. And just a preview to that, next week on the 23rd, the founder there, Ms. Shania Richardson, will be our guest. And she will share with us powerful information about empowering parents to become partners in education. Now, lest I digress too much, let me go back to what I was sharing with you in reference to the crime intervention advocacy model. And this is particularly relevant because Chief Shelton has been working with individuals who are victims of crimes and those who are perpetrators of crime. Interestingly enough, what they share in common is they're people. And at some point when they were born, they were innocent. But social, economic, and perhaps even political circumstances have brought them to where they were engaged in or caused trouble for others via criminal acts. The Crime Intervention Advocacy Campaign, or CIA for short, is research-oriented, as I've been sharing with you tonight. And it is one that looks at a national model of coalition building. BFC Institute serves as the catalyst to bring those things. And as we come and share our research and our practical experience, much of it is anecdotal in nature, simply because each area have its own individual characteristics. And we cannot say definitively that every city is going to respond the same way. But we're able to move from anecdotal to empirical evidence as we train individuals to develop their own strategies to improve their neighborhoods and communities. And over time, they'll be able to document those successes, and they can show themselves the empirical evidence for local engagement and interaction. In doing so, we look at innovative ways to approach neighborhoods and encourage efforts that would ensure the public safety. I'm eager to get to Chicago because that's the place where I was born and raised, though I've been gone for the last 30 years now and live here in Nashville, Tennessee. But there are some things there that we see that are consistent, and there are gaps in services and yet opportunities to work with other people and to engage them. So we're very eager to get to those places. The primary vehicle of the campaign is our traveling seminar that I made reference to earlier, the lecture series. And that lecture deals specifically with young people who are caught up in certain social circumstances, are often that are beyond their control, but then there are some things that they can control. It's entitled A Historical Seminar on the Progression of African-American Male Hostility. And from a anthropological and sociological lens, we seek to help individuals discover why it is so many young men are so angry that they will take a weapon and destroy the life of often individuals they grew up with in the same neighborhood, go to the same school with, play on the same playgrounds with. They've known them all their life quite often. They're victims of people they know often. How is that? How do we get to that point? We even see the rise in protests across the country. People are just angry, ready to go to war. Well, in the end, too many of them find themselves victims of their own frustration and anger. They become incarcerated as they engage in gangs and as they engage in violent type behaviors. They find themselves struggling to live the American dream, essentially. I realized that in the last few years, and particularly in the last few months with this new election, there are a lot of people who say they're angry, they're afraid, they don't know what to expect. But we have to be proactive about bringing success to ourselves and to ensuring that we get what we need as individuals and as families, as communities to thrive. And having said that, the traveling lecture series is a vehicle by which we're able to come to each of these cities that we've identified and to share our model. It's designed to empower not only the young men, but their families, their parents and family members, to play an active role in proactive community engagement. Now, this coming Thursday, that is the title of our show. In other words, this week, our next episode will be about community engagement. We'll talk about how we do that specifically, engage those communities, and what that entails. I want to just briefly share with you what the mission and vision statement for this crime intervention advocacy piece is, and more importantly, what is it that we're looking to get from it? You know, how do we aim to make a difference with them? Basically, in such a way that we can help young people change the direction of their life. You know, it's one thing to talk about it, and it's another thing to be about it. And that's one of the things we find, that young people have gotten tired of just hearing individuals say they're looking for real proactive change. And in the absence of the real proactive change, they'll do whatever they can to get by, to thrive, to survive, to live. Because in their mind, if I don't do this, I'm the one who's going to suffer and who's going to wither and be without. Okay? So let me just share with you what that mission statement is. To advance on the behalf of citizens, I'm sorry I said advance, but I meant to say to advocate on behalf of citizens plagued by crime and violence by facilitating the development of innovative mediation to criminal and illegal acts. Now, that's twofold. Focus is not just on the perpetrator, but also those who are hurting because they're victims. And I mentioned to you earlier, too often, the victims are individuals who have perpetrated against others, and they're now victims out of retaliation. And what happens is the cycle is vicious, and it continues itself. And over time, everybody loses. The devil gets two for one. One young man killed another, and one man's life is gone physically and socially, the other one experienced a social death, extricated from society, locked up, and treated like essentially a domesticated animal. We got to bring a change to that, people. All right? So that's what our mission is for the Crime Intervention Advocacy Campaign, which we're endeavoring to share across these 11 cities now. As a vision, what the Crime Intervention Advocacy Campaign envisions are three things: increased safety and safe security for residents of what we call at-risk neighborhoods or challenged neighborhoods, just like 14th Avenue North in Columbus, Mississippi. Significant reduction in local crime rate. I'm grateful that we're able to work with Chief Shelton, and hopefully we're able to see other groups there in a focused way, work with the police department in such a way that they can bring the changes that are needed. And to empower those individuals to police themselves. The more citizens police one another, the less chance there is or need for police officers to be on the scene, to be present, and to police the neighborhoods. That's one way you work with them. That's one of the federal community policing models is designed to help individuals do that. I can remember back in the 70s when they introduced Smokey the Bear. It was about bringing a more calmer, friendly figure to people who were trying to stop forest fires, and officer-friendly. The way of introducing the police to neighborhoods where there was high crime and issues like that in a more friendly way so that children don't have to fear the police, but they can see them as citizens and residents and friends to individuals. So bringing significant reduction in local crime rates as a result of proactive interventions. And then thirdly, the empowerment of those parents we were talking about, those single parents quite often. We saw that there was a high rate of those who were rearing African-American males quite often, and oftentimes they're white males or Hispanics who live in poverty-ridden communities as well. They will be able to learn how they can redirect their young people's behaviors in such a way that the challenges in their neighborhood are well addressed. Grateful to have an entertainer call here. Go ahead, caller. How you doing? You're on Talk Straight.
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I know who this is. Pastor Ricky Waller, how are you, sir?
Good, man. Thank you for asking.
Yes, how's it going? Yes, sir. Man, we're doing pretty good. We've been sharing with our listening audience a recap of our visit to Columbus, Mississippi. In just a second, I'll kind of go back over some of the good things that we were able to engage and things that we were able to do. I was just sharing with them about the Crime Intervention Advocacy Campaign that is associated with our lecture series and our travel. And just showing how we, Lord has blessed us to offer this as proactive strategies in those 10 cities that we've been targeting. So how are things in Nashville here?
Well, I tell you, Pastor, this is a challenging time, man, for me to recognize what's going on out in the real world.
Okay.
Out in the real world, I'm talking personally, nothing against any other ethnic group of people at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I am
mm-hmm.
thinking and concerned about my neighborhood, in my community, and things
yes,
that's
sir.
Going on, and
okay.
how I have with the pressure that they have to undergo for the lack of information.
Mm.
And that is a deep problem, man.
Okay.
I mean, and for solutions, you're looking for the answer. And when the problems start to elevate and to increase and to become more difficult to even acknowledge that it is a problem. See, when something becomes so as the norm, they only have that quick wish. And so to look for someone on the outside to come inside and to assist us with say, as a babysitter, it gives me because if it's a problem that I'm dealing with that I know that's overtaking our communities is how effective it is, and how it's caused the pain to increase. So yes, it's got to be a solution. Surely, I know it has to be a solution because God has placed a day in motion, and just that alone, I believe that there's a solution.
Right.
And I believe we are the solution, man. And so a brother just get killed, and then, you know, you're wondering, well, how did that happen? What was that about? And then I get a phone call, you see, and it's not the reason to me to attend a funeral where they want me to speak. And so these things I'm dealing with, and I just thought I'll share with you because you said a little bit about when I chimed in, I heard you talking a little bit about how to put things in order, I would say, how to get people to buy what togetherness is all about. And I just think that we have to do something ourselves about it. You know, there's a thing called check yourself. How can we check ourselves? If we check ourselves, we don't need nobody to come in and tell us anything because we've already checked ourselves. But if we don't check ourselves, man.
Now, that's interesting you say that. Pastor, that's interesting you say that because as we came into Columbus recently, I wanted to make sure point that you're making, and that is it is incumbent upon the residents there to check themselves. I like the way you phrase that, right? But what I discovered about each of these 11 cities that we've researched, the demographics, and we've even reached out to key people there, just like Chief Shelton in Columbus, is that for many, a significant number of the residents there, they lack the knowledge of how to properly check themselves. Oh, yes, we come out when someone get killed. We are marched. We'll raise fuss a little bit, and some people even become outright violent and destructive, right? But at the end of the day, what have we learned? What have we learned, and what have we done to change? I talked about at the beginning of the show, Mark, the fourth chapter, the 38-39 verse, how Jesus was on the ship. You know the story.
Yes.
And the disciples became afraid, literally, for their life because of turbulent circumstances, and how when Jesus was awakened and looked at the matter, what he did was to speak to the circumstances.
He did.
And said, peace be still. That's the name of the nonprofit that we were fortunate to help get started in Columbus. It's called Peace Be Still, the 501c3 nonprofit organization. And have some great goals, man, that I'm grateful to see them moving toward. They got their first grant, Pastor. You know, I began my work here in Nashville. You and I have worked together. In fact, you have a street ministry where I literally witness you on the street preaching to folks and engaging people and trying to transform lives right here in Nashville, Tennessee. So, you know, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God did what? He gave the increase. Is that right? Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, it is.
And what I'm suggesting is that as we go to each of these places, we're simply trying to educate people to what they have available to transform or check themselves. And that's what education is.
The
preface to the word is to educe or to bring that which is in out of an individual. We just don't know we got it, that's all. If I had to preach, I'd tell somebody, say to your neighbor, we got it like that. But I didn't come to preach tonight. I'm feeling my health, though. I'm feeling my health.
Yeah, that's all right, right there, brother.
But so I did hear of, you know, we had to we were out of town, and on a personal note, I had to go to Chicago to check on my dad, who's a little ill right now. He's in his 80s. And when I got back, I unfortunately, just this past weekend, I heard of, I think, 7 different shootings in Middle Tennessee, and some deaths that resulted from it. And I just wonder, Pastor, how should we, what responsibility should you and I assume for that? Or should we assume any at all?
What should we say?
Yeah,
again,
what responsibility? Let me rephrase the question. The number is 657-383-0944. Call me. What responsibility should me as an African-American man and you as such and any other African-American man right here and there, what responsibility should we assume for the plight of these young black males who are dying every day? Or should we assume in responsibility? Is that our business?
It's very much your business, because you have information.
Mm.
And when you have information, you are responsible whether you do it or not. And you know, the word does say this, and he put emphasis on it. It says, we then who are strong, ultimately the infirmity of the weak. Now, that meant that
my
not
Lord.
To please our. That's if we're strong now. See, that,
okay.
That's if you have. If you don't have anything, what you should do is make sure you stay out of the way, because you don't have anything. But
would you say that one more time? If I ain't got that, what should I do?
Stay out of the way, because, you know, it's defeating the purpose. You know, these people are hurting. They don't need to be played with. You know, it's a lot of harm being done. And so it's fair to know that if you have something to offer and you're willing to put effort to give something that you have to offer, it is fair, you know, to show your concern. And don't have to say that about where they're not going to listen. What do you mean they're not going to listen? Why would you even say something like that, that they're not going to listen? What you should be doing is what the word says. You say that you ought to, whether you do it or not. You say, we men who are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak and not to please ourselves. Why would you say that? He's saying that so he lets you know that you do have something to offer. And whether you do it or not, you ought to. You see, and that's what he said. And I like where Paul put that. I mean, it was plain. So, yes, that's the concern that you should have. And I think it's a very needed one at that. If you just all the churches that's in existence today all over the country, and, man, if we just utilize, quote, that scripture right now, not the minute that, you know, they got plenty more in there. I just you know, responding to what you asked about should we have concern, should we even think about, you know, being concerned. And yes, I just do. I think people in the church look like they enjoy, look like they have fun, look like they have power. I'm talking about how it looks now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not talking about it yet. I'm just talking
not
about
the
how
way it
looks.
Really is.
Yeah, you know, then when you come down to what they said, and if you put that together with how they look, it may sound like this is.
Lord,
you know, you're talking loud, hear nothing.
And you ain't,
you know,
saying,
and if
nothing.
I hear nothing, that means that you don't have nothing.
Okay.
And so that's
okay.
What people out there would recognize. But if you go out there with a compassionate heart, man, and show the people that you are concerned, man, believe me, I know there's some crying and hurting people out there, man. These guys don't really, really enjoy killing each other like they're doing, man. But if you can't tell, you know, you would think that they love doing this.
Mm.
You know? So it's a painful thing, man, to just sit back and watch it unfold. And, you know, for me in Nashville, Pastor, you know, every now and then I will get a call when something like this happens to some of the young brothers. And, you know, and when I hear, you know, when I hear that it happened, you know, the first thing I think about is I wonder are they going to call me. I don't like that type of thinking. I wonder are they going to call me, man. And I just don't care for the call. I'm honored. I'm really grateful, you know, that you know, they know I'm fighting out here for the community as a whole. But, man,
right.
This is challenging, brother.
You're absolutely right, sir. And I, for one, know of your efforts, you know what I mean? In fact, we talked about, while we were down in Columbus, your book. Shared that with the key contact, Chief Shelton, and how under the right circumstances there is a need and opportunity to teach young guys what you're saying. Listen, that this fallacy that they live, Pastor, that I have to get it the way I live. Now, let me break that down. Do you mind if I break that down?
Well, I need you to.
All right, hold that thought. Let me do this last commercial break, man, and let's wrap this show up, breaking that thought down. And I've heard so many young kids tell me, I got to get it the way I live. Hold on one second. Give me one second. I'll be right back.
Okay.
This is Talk Straight, your host, Reuben Dockery. The number 657-383-0944. Give me a holler right here at Talk Straight.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com. Or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
We're talking about our recent visit to one of our tour cities, Columbus, Mississippi. We have on with us tonight Pastor Ricky Wallach, who is sharing from a sincere heart his passion to bring about a difference. When we left before the break, and I want to encourage you to join us to help us out, to help us get this message out to those cities. We haven't forgotten Nashville. Let me say that, Pastor. You haven't forgotten Nashville. But you know this is ground zero for BFC Institute, right? You know this is where we, over the last 15 years, have toiled to document some things. And we've shared this with individuals. In fact, some young cats, if you'll excuse my street lingo, told me to my face, you know, hey, man, I got to get my hustle on. I got to get it the way I live. What that mean?
What that mean? Well, when you look at it, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Can we keep it 100 right now, real fast?
Yes, that's something about the way that I get it is what I've learned. And
uh-huh.
when you learn something, that become a learning behavior, and
Uh-oh.
Not only, especially when it's bringing dividends in. I mean, you're
mm-hmm.
talking about that almighty dollar.
That's right.
And then when you're dealing with that type of money that you can get really quick,
mm-hmm.
the focus more prevalent. To stay the course, than not, because this is how I do my thing. This is how I get it. There's no other way
right.
that can supersede the way I'm getting it now. And
right.
that's what takes control of the mindset of the brothers.
Mm.
So I understand where they're coming from, and
mm-hmm.
I would be disrespectful if I thought anything any different when I myself, once upon a time, with those individuals. I was very one that they are.
Ah,
so understanding, I have compassion to know that it's changeable, but it's not easy
mm-hmm.
to change it. You see?
Mm.
And what they will need is someone with the experience that can share with them that for the love of money is the root of all kind of evil.
Right.
And so we have brought an evil to our community, man, by way of a plan of somebody. And so that's why I get it the way I get it. And I can't help but say that it's not a bad amount of getting that's going on, if you will. I'm getting it like as if there's no end. So why
yeah.
would I all of a sudden want to stop getting it like this when I know that it's... Yes.
Yeah. And I'm asking this question with full knowledge of the answer to it, but I do that so that our listening audience can process this. How did
yes.
we start living, And that's what young men need to understand. Your quality of life is in your hands. What you need to know is how do you start living this path of life? Get it the way I live, right? And here's reality, Professor. Consider this. You're born in a home out of promise between a father and a mother. Father who promises and commits himself to protecting your mama and you and everybody else in your family and to ensure that you get the knowledge and the health and the development you need to become a self-sustained, well-rounded individual, and a citizen of the world, of the universe, okay? You missed
yeah.
that. So you were born into
okay.
a broken home, a fatherless home, right?
Uh-huh.
In a poverty-stricken area where everybody's hustling, trying to make a dollar and trying to cop a dime. All right?
That's it.
Then you go to a school with a poor education, right? You grow up
yeah.
chronologically, become grown enough now to be on your own. You had a poor education. That kept you from getting a decent job yourself. Now you're struggling again. And you find yourself faced with the challenge of saying, either I'm going to do it legally or I'm going to do it illegally. That's where that hustle come in. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and you repeat over and over and over again. But you justify it by saying, I got to get it to what? Way I live.
That's it. I mean,
until one day, sir, a time that you never saw coming, you slip up. And all it takes is a few seconds for you to lose your life.
Yeah.
And it's all over with.
Is that
a way to live, bro, Pastor?
Man, it's a dangerous and a terrible way to live, man. But the concept of the power of the right here and the right now, the focus
mm-hmm.
is not what would happen. The focus though, is what's going on right now.
I see.
This is the way I get it. You see? And
I
that's what level, and that's the reason why I say I understand them where they are. And if you don't know any better, like I myself was, which I can admit today, that I was young and dumb. I was inexperienced. I didn't know any better. I was willing to step out and take a chance because the money had my focus. Because I had, I never had gained that type of money that quick before.
Right.
And so I was captured. As soon as I made that little small amount of money, which was big, and now I don't even know who I am.
Right.
Why am I saying that, you may ask? 20 years to go by from that day that I first got that small amount of money that captured my mind, and so that became the focus. So I was getting it like I had learned to get it. And then that's
okay.
the way it's happening now. Until someone comes with some valuable information to remind them of the purpose and the plan
right.
that the end has for them, because there is a purpose and a plan for
sure.
the enemy to capture
sure.
the mind of the innocent. I would
Absolutely.
Like that. I mean, you know, we deal with the Word of God, and, you know, the Word of God states it very clear that the devil
right.
comes to steal, kill,
and
to destroy.
To destroy.
That's
his job. That's
what he does. Yeah,
that's
what
job.
He does, man.
And he does one heck of a job.
Yes. So if
he
that's what the scripture
says, yes,
then why not acknowledge it? And then say, okay, well, what about the remaining of it?
Wow.
But the old maker say, but I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So here comes the sense-making time now. So how do I have the abundant life? You know, how long is it going to take? But it may take a while to get it like this, but if you want it speedily, then, you know, the devil got something for you if you want it speedily, because he know that he's going to capture your mind, you're going to do a lot of harm, and then you're going to be able to increase in doing that harm.
Right.
You see?
Right.
Because I'm getting
right.
it like I'm getting it. You know, yeah. let me use my example. I don't want to use an example that I don't know about. I want
to
use an example that I can say that I'm that example that I feel real bad about it even every time I talk about it.
Okay.
You know, because this is what happened. Oh, man, I'm sharing it with my friends, man. Now my friends are caught up now. You see? You know, and it didn't stop there. And so that's how it started. You know, one man, he's making a little money now, and he want to share it with his friends because that's the right thing to do. You know,
okay.
you don't think you're doing
okay.
harm to nobody. This is just the way
right.
I get it. You see? So, man, and it's a lot of that going on, Pastor. I just want you to know, man, no fault of these
sure.
brothers, man. No fault of these kids, man. These kids are being captured. Their minds are being captured by the almighty dollar.
Right. Right.
And
you know,
let me say this way, and I'm going to be done. You see, a small piece of paper that carries a lot of weight.
Uh-oh.
Could you imagine? That small piece of paper carrying that kind of weight, man, is talking about that.
Yeah.
That mean dream, that almighty
right.
dollar, man. And so that's what gets the young brothers, man, at an early stage, you see. And it's more prevalent today than ever.
Right.
You know?
I would say that we don't have enough grown men who are not afraid of what might happen to them. If they went and looked, one of these gentlemen you're talking about, young guys with potential, right, with opportunity, oftentimes creative and imaginative, but just stuck in the four corners of their mind, and looked them in the eye, a teacher, and said to them, son, money don't make you a man, but as a man, you make money worth anything.
Yes, yes, brother.
You hear what I say?
That's it.
You hear what I say?
Yes, sir.
Money don't make you a man. Many
That's
fools
right.
have gotten tripped up in the insatiable desire for money, caught up in the game.
Yeah.
Many of them in the grave. Money don't make you a man. It's the man that make money.
Yes,
how you
sir.
Gonna be a man
How you going to be a man about your money? That's what we lost. But you got young boys who are groping in darkness, sir, and no grown, not enough grown men to look them in the eye. I don't care what kind of, they can be kind of Tech Nine. I don't care what they got. You got to be willing to look them in the eye and love and respect and say, son, money don't make you a man.
Yeah. Man, my goodness, brother.
One day if you become a man, though, you can make you some money.
Yes, sir. And be around to be able to enjoy it.
That's
you
right.
A lot better because you're free.
That's right.
You see,
that's right.
That's the thing about you making the money, you're free.
That's
so
right.
The money's not making you, I hear what you're saying. And that's what a trap is. See, when you're thinking you're making the money, but the money's making you. Just like when I took that first hit, I thought I was getting high. No. So it wasn't like that. It definitely wasn't like that. You know what I mean? I thought I was high.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm doing me some drugs. No, the drugs was doing me. Yeah. That's what that was. You know, I'm getting me a lot of money. The money was getting me.
Right. Right.
Man.
Right.
Man.
Right.
Man.
That's what the trick of the enemy is to get you off base of reality. It's what they call in counseling a lie-based thought. Your whole thought construct, a lie-based thought. And a lie-based thought is an idea that is not based in reality.
Yeah.
So whatever you start off with that is not real, it's going to end in something that ain't real. Excuse my English.
A lot of us
get caught up speaking out of emotion and get caught up in lie-based thinking. See, I'm going to get rich quick or I'm going to die trying. That's a lie-based thought. That's a lie-based thought.
Huh? And then
if you allow me to share this,
it's amazing that you said it.
Let me finish this thought. There are principles to wealth, and this is long-term, not a short-term fix, an easy, quick fix, but it's a principle that allows you to be wealthy long-term. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, in my situation, I wasn't even trying to get rich.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't want to be rich, wasn't trying to get rich, didn't want to be rich. But knew I was rich. That's sad, man. I mean, I'm spending it at wheel. I'm spending it at wheel. Every day was a weekend for me. It wasn't no way to try to go party down. Every day, the game beat me down. The game overtook me, my mind, took my soul, took my physical being, took my everything. And I wasn't even trying to get rich. The game fell in my hand.
Wow. Okay.
And you got innocent people like that, man, and all of a sudden they're living a rich lifestyle.
Right.
A glamorous life. You know? And that's not, as I say, when I played ball, and I can share this with you, when I played ball, I always want to throw the pass to somebody else, man, when I could have shot the layup myself, but I wanted you to get on the scoreboard. So I wasn't trying to outdo nobody. I wasn't trying to be the man. But in the eyes of those, man, who was looking and seeing and hearing and knowing how I was going about living and playing the game, they're going to act as if I never said I was the man.
Right.
You see? And that's how the enemy would do you, man. If you don't know no better, he know what to do.
Sure.
He know I care about my friends. I want my friends to be all right. You know? Yeah, so it was never all about me. I never did, even though, again, I'm saying that in a humble manner.
I understand.
Of course, I had so much, and I'm living the rich lifestyle.
Actually,
I was captured, man.
Yeah.
And today, with the young brothers today, oh, man. Man, they are having a time, man. There's so much money being made today.
Right.
That their mind, man, is like captured. You got so many ways that you can capture them now. And so without great information.
Well, watch this. Watch this. There's a difference in bubblegum that is fresh out of a pack and bubblegum that's been chewed already.
It is.
Now, if you just think about it for a second, you say to me, here's a way to make a quick dollar. You ain't got to do no work. You ain't got to think about it, nothing. You ain't got to build nothing. Just make this quick dollar. The question is, what's to it? That's the hustle, see? See, the hustle comes in where you throw it on me and don't give me a chance to think about it.
Right.
We talked about in one of our previous shows about how thought works. You need to process what you do before you act on it, right?
Yeah.
And so
what
happens is I allow myself fall for the bait of overriding reason before I act. And next thing I know, I'm a slave to the action.
Yes, sir.
I can't even get out of it. We've got to teach young brothers, don't be a slave to lie-based thinking and to somebody's hustle. But take time to ask yourself, what have I done to work, to earn, to build what it is that I desire? See, when a man put that kind of work in, he got a right to defend. But if I stole some of your stuff, Pastor, I ain't got no right to defend what I done stole from you. That's your stuff.
No, that's right.
In fact, there's an argument to be made. You got a right to come put some things on me. I'm not in charge of violence now, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, but you still have that right.
It's your stuff. You coming after your stuff, right?
No, you coming after.
But
man,
when I work for it, sir, when I work for it, I got every right to defend that which I have invest time, energy, resource, and thought into. We're going to get there.
We've got to keep.
We're not going to give up. You understand what I'm saying? We may be weary, but we won't get weary in our well-doing.
That's right.
Because if we faint not, somebody said, we'll what? What happens if we faint not, Brother Preacher? Somebody said we'll receive reward, won't we?
You reap now if you don't faint. You know, that's the only thing about that is you will reap if you faint not. That's saying don't give up.
Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't quit.
Hope, brother. Yeah, there's hope. That's the bottom line to that. There is hope. And that's what brings forth good news, knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, see, we need to know that. There's
okay.
Nothing wrong with the news.
Okay. Okay. I want our listening audience to make a note to join me Thursday night. We will be talking about community engagement. What does that mean? How does one engage community? First of all, what is a community? I think there's a lot of misgivings about what a community is, sir.
Okay.
People lay their head under a roof on a certain block and think they are part of the community. They don't really know, though. And we're going to help hopefully bring some closure to that. So understand, how does one become a member of a community and how do you engage your community? Very important thought. Very important thought. Because there are a lot of good people, sir, who get caught up in the game because they don't know what I'm talking about right now.
That's right.
A
lot of them.
But I'm glad that God sent his son Jesus. And he died that I might have a right.
That's the hope of glory.
Life more abundantly. I'm happy about that. I'm happy about that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I'm eager to share that story with other folks.
That's
we
right.
got about 4 minutes here to wrap up, Brother Preacher. I would really encourage our listening audience to go to our website and support our cause. Help us to get out to these other cities. www.bfcinstitute.com. Well, how do you need me to help me, Doc? I need your money. I need your money. Go in your pocket, your wallet, your pocketbook, wherever your money is, under your mattress, in that little can in the corner, and help us out. Make a contribution online.
at www.bfcinstitute through our secure PayPal account. We are registered as a nonprofit organization in the state of Tennessee, and we went through the methods of doing so with PayPal. So we're legit, and you can legally do so. And we want you to help us so that we can get, again, to these other places. And we're also asking people to keep in mind that we open the phone lines to you at 657-383-0944. Have a concept, an idea, you want to come on, be a guest, give me a call at 615-498-4669. You can find that number on the website as well. Pastor, give me a thought that I can hold on to, brother, until I meet you, until I see you, hear from you again.
Yeah, man, I would say these words right here for a person that's ready, like I know you are. You know, in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, for I can do all through Christ. See, when we get discouraged or become weary, then we really in ourselves through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. I see all things. That means that in the situation that you're talking about, all things.
A few things.
He meant all when he said it, so he didn't want to exclude powerful words from that scripture, because that's when others started to take place. When they look out in the community and it looks like there's no hope, just remember that you do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All you need is a little. Yes, sir. And that's what I would suggest for anyone that's ready for a change, is to know that you can do it. All you got to do is acknowledge him and go through him, and all of a sudden you'll see a mighty change going on. And I just believe for the people that's out there, that's going to happen. I believe the change is going to be, and it's going to be like sweeping through the city, man, the joy that it's going to bring, to see lives change. Glory to God.
All right.
They deserve it.
My Lord.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have to go. We got 2 minutes here. I thank those who are listening, those who tune in via Facebook or who follow our Twitter feed, those who are listening online live now, and those of you who might listen later. The Bolton brothers said something, and I want to encourage you to be encouraged. They said, "Lord, if you move, I'll fall." And just for a second, let's listen to a few words of that song as we prepare to go, and meet us Thursday, 7 o'clock. PM right here on Talk Straight. This is your host, Reuben Dockery, and we're going to leave with the Bolton brothers. If you move, Lord, I'll fall.
You move.